We've been working through the series, Our Lives Under Construction, talking about how God wants to work in each of our lives. And the reason it's so important that we would understand that when we have healthy lives, and healthy in all ways, God uses that in a clearer message to be able to work through us. And so the biggest obstacle for God's power working through us is us. So we are the obstacle that creates the greatest problem. And so if we have a poor self-image, and so we are not seeing ourselves in a healthy way, and we don't think much of ourselves, then what tends to happen is we actually think about ourselves more. And so we have less ability to think of others because we're thinking more about ourselves. So the way for us to be able to understand why it's so important that we would be understanding and having a healthy self-image. An unhealthy self-image is insecure and it's fraught with insecurities. It battles jealousy, struggles, depression, all those kinds of things that are going to constantly be coming to us. And that's why if we're going to be really effective and being used by God, then we have to come to the point where we have that understanding of what it means to have a healthy self-image and perspective. So today, we've talked about each of those. Today we're talking about seeing ourselves clearly and the windows. We started out with talking about the foundation that needs to be based on God's Word. Then we talked about the significance of the framework, how we see things. Then we talked about the walls that are part of the house, and that would be the boundaries that we discussed. We then talked about the roof overhead, and that was protecting us from our past and unforgiveness. And then we talked about the doors, and so new opportunities that are opening because we have a healthier self-perspective. And now, today, we're talking about the windows. And so when we can see ourselves clearly, we have a greater ability to be used by God. And so the scripture that we are using as far as opening is, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Teach us this morning. Help us to hear your voice and be faithful to follow you. In Christ's name, amen. There's a real importance of understanding that periodically we should be checking ourselves to see where we are. Now, not all the time. This would be like the nurse who's constantly taking her own pulse. No, we need to be making sure that we're not always checking ourselves, but periodically we do need to see. And there should be times and places in your spiritual journey where you're saying, wow, if that had happened a few years ago, I wouldn't have handled it this way. There should be ways that you're looking at yourself and you're saying, well, I'm able to do so much different now than I did before. If you're handling it, the things that come into your life the same way as you did before, and that's not good, then you're not developing, you're not growing. And there should always be a growing process that's happening for us, always. And so you should, I mean, look, if you're still getting angry at the driver who's cutting you off in traffic, you need to get past that. You need to get beyond. I mean, there's got to be stuff that you're, like you're saying, you know, that used to upset me, but that doesn't anymore. Or I used to really value that, but, you know, it's just not so important anymore. I mean, you've got to get to a point where things are moving forward in your spiritual journey. You're not handling things in the same way you did. There's a new way. You're dealing with life differently. You're handling circumstances differently. You're moving forward. And that's why you should be able to see Christ in you constantly growing and developing. And so you should see more and more that is happening within you where Christ is working. So looking in must be a natural process of the Christian life. So periodically, we're going to be looking in and seeing, how am I doing? How am I handling these things? How are things going within my life? So that examine yourselves. You see, do not realize that Christ Jesus is in you. I mean, if I realize that Christ is in me, I'm going to react and respond to life differently than I did naturally. When you did this naturally, your natural self, you had certain reactions and responses. Now that Christ is in you, there's got to be difference. There's got to be a difference. And so that's why, unless you fail the test, like if you're not seeing that you're handling things or responding or feeling or whatever, there's got to be a difference. And that's the transformation that God brings to each one of us as we put our trust in Him. Now, when we look into ourselves, we should honestly look at who we are. We have to honestly see ourselves. Weak, strong, whatever, but we honestly have to look at ourselves. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. You know, when we think about a humble person, it's not someone who just feels that they're a worm. That's not humility. In fact, they may be thinking of themselves way too much. But it's somebody who can honestly look at themselves. They honestly see their strengths. They honestly see their weaknesses. That is really humility, because he says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And so that whole process, that measure of faith that God gives to each one of us, helps us to be able to look at ourselves honestly. Now, it's natural for us to see our own needs first. We will always see our own needs first, because it's just the way it is. I heard a speaker say one time, when a wife is driving the car and the husband's riding, she says, is anybody hungry? And if no one answers, you know, they keep going. When the man is driving, he says, I'm hungry, and pulls over. The fact is, his needs seem to be motivating that whole decision. And oftentimes, we see ourselves and our own needs first. But if we're going to look at that, if we're going to try to find out, maturity is going to come along when we start seeing other people's needs and not just seeing our own. So each of you should look not only to your own interest, which happens, that's natural, but also to the interests of others. So maturity comes along when I start tuning in to the needs of those who are around me. And I'm starting to see what's really important and what's needed in theirs as well. See yourself as one God values. Realize how much God loves you. I loved the song that we sang and Pastor Ryan shared this morning about, oh, how he loves me, and talked about the prodigal son as he was coming to the father. He had done everything wrong. He had wasted everything that the father had given to him. But the father was still watching for the son to return. And when he did, he went running to the son. And the cool thing is, in understanding the culture, that meant the father had to pull up his robe and run to him, which was a very undignified thing for a father to do, especially a wealthy father at that time, to be able to expose himself to running and to expose himself to having to be in that condition. But there was nothing that would hold him back from loving the son. There's nothing that God will hold God back from loving you. He loves us that much. And so that's what we have to see ourselves as, one that God values. He says, "Boo, I do not think I'm in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may not be a trained speaker, but I do have knowledge." And so realizing who you are and what God has in you and how he wants to work through you is all part of the process of learning to love yourself. So loving others as you would love yourself becomes an important part. People that can't love themselves are going to always struggle with loving others. You've got to know how to love yourself. You've got to feel good about who you are. You've got to feel good about the person God created you to be, how he's working in you. And when you do, then you have a greater capability of loving others and reaching out. But if you're always going to be down on yourself, it's going to limit your ability to really reach out and love those in your world. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife respect her husband. So Paul gave this example in marriage, but saying how he must love as he loves himself. So you have to be able to have that kind of security, that kind of person, so you can be able to be free to be able to love others. Now, looking out is directly affected by how clearly we're looking in. So our ability to look out and see others is definitely related to about how we see ourselves and looking inward. For a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all his paths. Great importance in understanding how God wants to work in each of our lives and how he wants us to be able to see our world, and the great importance. When someone is so self-focused and so self-absorbed, what happens? You've all been in this situation, I'm sure, where you went to visit somebody to encourage them, and you left being more encouraged yourself than you think you were able to do for them, because they were the kind of people who were positive. They were the kind of people who were full of faith. They were full of grace. They were the kind of people that, like, it did something for you just to be with them. Now, that's what God wants us to be. But how often, and so often, when we're negative and we're down on things, what happens? And we're miserable about ourselves. Who wants to be around miserable people? No one. And so what happens? No one wants to be around them, so then they feel more miserable because no one wants to be around them. But they're projecting that, and it's creating that continual response around them. And so what we have to do is figure out how I can be able to see the world positively, how I can be able to see what God really wants to do. I was watching a video this week. I think it was Scott Rigby, and he was a double amputee, and he lost both his legs in a car accident. I think he was 18. And then through that whole thing, he came to Christ. But he really felt God wanted to do something powerful through his life, and he became an Ironman. I mean, he did the 26-mile marathon, the swimming, and the biking, the whole thing. And he was really determined to be able to do that. But as you listen to him, you think, what a positive attitude, what a positive spirit. And you know what really makes the difference? It's not our circumstances, it's how we view them. And for every one of us, it's not your circumstances, it's how you view them and what you're willing to look at and what you're willing to do as a result of those. That becomes the important part. So when we realize our strength comes from God, we can value others in the same way. So I realize it's God in me. It's God working through me. I am so grateful for that. And when we start to value that and appreciate that, what a difference it makes. Now that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. So we become more and more confident in God and his work through us and what he wants to do. And so those are powerful words that he wants. So we're all different and should never fall into the trap of comparison. Right? It's so easy to compare. It's so hard not to. But we've got to be so important and so conscious of that because it's destructive. If you compare, you know what? You're either going to be proud or you're going to be depressed. Because somebody's going to be better and you're going to be discouraged. Or somebody's going to be worse and you're going to think too highly of yourself. It does no good to compare. None. It's only devastating. It's only discouraging. It's only hurtful. So don't compare. Just get yourself out of that mindset because you're always going to think somebody else has something better, somebody else, why is it working for them? It isn't working for me. Why is this? And you're going to end up in a very discouraged position and place. We can't. The scripture tells we dare not classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not wise. And so I want to fall into a category of wise. So I want to make sure that this is not part of my mindset. And so we can't compare ourselves with others. It's only going to be destructive. We must look at others with the reality of sin and the gift of the grace of God. Now, God, all of us have failed. All of us have sinned. All of us have things that are a part of our past. All of us have, but the grace of God transcends all of that. He says, but for the very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. So be conscious of God working through you, God working in you. That's the way that strength is built and we continue to become who we need to be. And so as we would looking out is directly affected by how clearly we're looking in. Well, God loves us at our worst to bring us to his best. God loves us at our worst to bring us to his best. I love the verse, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't have to fix yourself up for God to love you. You didn't have to make yourself better to come to Christ. You just had to surrender yourself just like you are and know the transformation that he can be able to bring. That's the good news of the gospel. And he loves us at our worst to bring us to his best. He's got great things ahead for us and in store for us. And that's why seeing myself clearly affects how I see others. And so when I can be able to see myself honestly and clearly, it's going to affect how I view my world. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, you often hear verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Which is a great verse, and it describes the transformation that happens when we give our heart to Christ. But he said, here's what's going to happen. When this happens, you're going to change your view. You're going to see things differently. That's the good news of the gospel. You should be seeing things differently than you saw them before. He said, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. So I've got to see him as a changed person. God wants me to be a transformed person. So I see others with the attitude of Christ. So how does Jesus see those people? How does he see the people in my life? How does he want me to see them? He wants me to see them like he does. And so I need to look at people from his viewpoint. I need to look at people from his vantage. And so if we would stop worrying about trying to fix everybody and start worrying about seeing people like Jesus does and letting God fix people, we would see the transformation, because we are to see that clearly. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We see also that we see others with weaknesses as your opportunity to serve. How does God want to work through your life? He wants you to serve one another. And when someone is weak, and then you can be able to be part of the body, we can serve one another. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. So what kind of words should come out of my mouth? The kind that build one another up. Not criticism and tearing down and destructive kinds of things. No, let's focus on how can I build others up. How can God use my words to help make a difference in other people's lives? You see, the Word of God gives us a clear view of ourselves when we sincerely look into our lives. So when I look into the Word of God, I see myself. And that's not to discourage me, it's to encourage me. You see, you were that same person you were before, but now you see it clearly. So as God continues to work in your life, you'll see new things all the time that need to be changed. You'll say, and you can take one of two attitudes: wow, I'll never make it, I'm just, everything I do is wrong. You can feel sorry for yourself and pity yourself that way. Or you can say, you know, I never saw this before. God's opening my eyes to things that are part of my life that have been there all along, but I'm seeing them differently. That's the work of the, I must be growing. I must be developing. Because it was there all along, but now God is helping you to see things in a new way. The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. So God wants to pour out a blessing on our lives, but we have to be willing to be able to hear his voice to do it. So see each other through the one another's of the word. We did our whole sermon series on I Love My Church and all those one another's, but here's just a recap of just a few of those. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Serve one another in love, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Live in harmony with one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, I want to share with you this biblical self-image, because I think you probably, we could all read certain ones of these. Maybe as we're going through, you'll say, wow, that is me. I need to read this every day for the next week. Maybe you need to read the whole list, but whatever. If God is, you know, helping you to see this is something I need to be aware of, then think about these things. First, hate your sin, but never hate yourself. Hate your sin, but never hate yourself. The fact is, if I don't hate my sin, I'm going to fall back into it. I've got to hate it. I don't want to go there. You know, that's something that could lead me, I'm wasting time in that area of my life where I need to be heading in a right direction. I'm heading in the wrong direction. Instead of growing, I'm failing. So how do I do this? So hating our sin makes me want to leave it. Makes me not want to repeat it. But don't hate yourself. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. So I've got to make sure that I'm aware of that. Two, be quick to repent. If you've done something wrong, make sure that you're willing to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I can't believe how many people I hear saying, I never hear that from them. I never heard my father. I never heard my mother. I never heard my husband or my wife or whatever. I never heard them ever say, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Be quick to repent so you can move on and not continue to hold on to something or get stuck in that place. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Boy, if you see the war room and you go see that, that's one of the things that's really powerful is the whole act of repentance that happens. And you can see the transformation by the deeds that are done. That should help us to be able to see what's taking place in someone's life. When God gives you light, walk in it. Now, I kind of like to think about it this way. Like, God gives us each our own kind of little flashlight that is the Holy Spirit giving us light and what we're supposed to do and not do. Now, this light is for me. It's not for anyone else. It's for me. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking to me and helping me to see things, the more I see, the more I can walk in the right direction. Now, I've got to remember the light is for me. It's not like, hey, you guys see that over there? You need to fix that up and clean that up. That's not what it is. This is for us. It's for me. So what you have to remember, don't be poking the person next to you and say, that was for you this morning. No, it's for you. And that light that the Holy Spirit is giving to you is opening your mind for you and for your future. No one else's. Wrong, wrong, right. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Too many times we get busy trying to help other people's problem when we're not dealing with our own. And God wants us to first be aware of that. Stop saying negative things about yourself. I love this one. God loves you, and it's wrong to hate what he loves. He has great plans for you, so you're in conflict with him when you speak negatively concerning your future. Stop saying negative things about yourself. God loves you, and it's wrong to hate what he loves. He has great plans for you, so you're in conflict with him when you speak negatively concerning your future. No. You need to make sure this is clear. And so we know and rely on the love of God for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Keep that focus. Make sure. 5. Never be afraid to admit that you've made a mistake, and don't always assume that when things go wrong, it must be your fault. There's a balance here that needs to be between these. It's not, everything's not always your fault. Well, no, it isn't. Just remember, it's not always your fault, nor should you be afraid to admit when it is. There's a balance there between that. Trying to see things honestly and clearly as God would help us to be able to see. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. See, when we acknowledge and take ownership for our sin, our wrongdoing, then we can be able to have a transformation that can happen. Don't meditate excessively on what you've done right or wrong. Don't meditate excessively on what you've done right or wrong. Both of these activities keep your mind focused on you. Center your thoughts on Christ. So if you did wrong, you've got to let go of it. If you did right, you've got to let go of it. You can't keep focusing on those things. Let's focus on what Christ is doing in you, what he wants to do through you, and focus your mind on him. He will keep you in perfect peace, and whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. 7. Take good care of yourself physically. Make the best of what God gave you to work with. But don't be obsessed with your appearance. For physical training is of some value. Godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Your spiritual is the most important part of what you get ready for the day. Never stop learning, but don't all allow your education to become a point of pride. God doesn't use you because of what's in your head. He uses you because of what's in your heart. Isn't that a great line? He doesn't use you for what's in your head. He uses you for what's in your heart. And that's so important. We know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. Important priority here in perspective. Realize that your talents are a gift, not something you have manufactured. Never look down on people who can't do what you do. We're all different. We should just appreciate and admire what is in other people. Like, we might not possess it, but that's okay. I don't have to compare myself to them. I'm not them. I'm a different person. God equipped me with what I need to do to be me. And that's all there is. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. And so I will be grateful instead. Don't despise your weakness. They keep you dependent on God. Don't despise your weakness. It keeps you dependent. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power in me may rest on me. So, don't despise your weakness. Whatever it is, it's going to keep you dependent on God. So be grateful that whatever God is doing through you, he's working in you to make a difference. Let's pray. Father, thank you for making us and designing us as who we are. Lord, we thank you that you know everything about us. You know us from beginning to end. You know exactly where we are right now in this body. And Lord, we just have to give you thanks because you created us. What we can do or what we can't do is in your hands. Father, we want to be able to love others like you do. Help us to know how to love ourselves and to be able to see your power working through us. Help us to be the kind of people that you can use mightily, that we wouldn't be so focused on our problems, our worries, our needs, that we would miss the great things that you want to do through us. Clear our vision. Help us to see clearly. And we'll give you thanks. In Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.